Good morning, Grace people. It is the first Sunday in February, which means two things. One, we all made it through January. Give yourselves a hand. And two, we have our kids joining us in worship this morning for the whole service. And normally, that means that we would have a special video children's message that we always say is just for the kids. But if you've been around Community of Grace for a while, you know we mean it's for the grown-up kids too. So this morning, as we were thinking through it, we thought we'd try something a little different. We thought we would take the children's message and the sermon and ask the question that Marvel has now made famous, which is, what if the children's message and the grown-up message were the same thing? It's really daring, I know. I think we can do it, right? Yeah? So hold on to your pews, buckle up your kids. Here we go. To start, I want all of you to raise your hands high. This is participatory. You're all now in Sunday school. Raise your hands high if you've ever been fishing. If you've ever been fishing. Oh, lots of hands. Awesome. Keep them up. Okay. Actually, you can put yours down. The next people will have to keep them up. Now, raise your hand if you've never been fishing before, but you think you'd like to try it out sometime. Wow. All right. Well, I guess all of you who raised your hands before, you have nobody to teach like I was going to tell you to. All right, how about our last category? Maybe we'll get some for this. Raise your hand if you've been fishing before and you have absolutely no desire to ever go fishing again. You're my people. You're my people. You can all come to my house for board games instead. Now, for those of you who love fishing, you might be thinking, come on, Britta, fishing's great. And actually, the one time that I went fishing as a kid, I'll admit, I did have fun. But there's two things about fishing that just kind of gross me out. I don't want to do again. One is handling the live bait, and cleaning the fish. I had to do that, and it still grosses me out. In our gospel reading today, we find Jesus teaching a crowd of people on a shoreline where there are two fishing boats. And the fishermen who own the boats are sitting off to the side, probably listening to Jesus teach, maybe kind of annoyed that there's a crowd there as they're washing their nets. And the crowd is pressing in so close to Jesus to be able to hear him that he asks if he can borrow Simon's boat so that his voice would carry over the water and create sort of an amphitheater effect so that everybody could hear him. And after he's done teaching, Jesus says to Simon to put out in the water and let down your nets. And Simon says, "Teacher, we've been out all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." I have a suspicion that there was something in Jesus' teaching that Simon overheard that just kind of made him go, there's something different about this teacher. And when they put off and put their nets down, they catch so many fish that they almost sink both boats. And afterward, Jesus calls Simon, his brother Andrew, and their fishing partners, James and John, to follow him and become his students. And then Jesus has this strange line that he says to them, "And I will make you fishers of men." Now, if you're like me and you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, you've probably heard this story. Maybe if you've been in Sunday school or you've been a teacher, you've taught this story before. Maybe you've seen it depicted in a play or a movie, or you're a fan of The Chosen, or you've read it in your children's Bible storybooks. It's a pretty popular one that we like to repeat. But as many times as I've heard and seen and read and taught this story before, I actually learned something new about it just in the last week. When Jesus said to them, "I will make you fishers of men," he wasn't cracking a dad joke. He was not making up a new slang term or a new catchphrase. He was actually using a phrase that was very commonly used by Jewish rabbis in his day. To be a fisher of men as a student of a rabbi meant to help catch or attract people to their rabbi's teaching so that the people would become his followers. So calling disciples to be fishers of men wasn't unique to Jesus. What was unique about Jesus' method was who he called to be fishers of men. Normally, a Jewish rabbi would only call the absolute best, most qualified, most learned students who had proven themselves capable of being discipled or apprenticed to a rabbi. But Jesus, uniquely, didn't reserve his calling for the elite. He called ordinary, everyday, working men and women to be his disciples, his fishers of men. What I love about this metaphor of fishing, even if I don't love fishing myself, is that it has stood the test of time, even though fishing equipment and methods have evolved. And we even still use fishing for more modern metaphors. How many of you have heard of catfishing? Anyone heard of catfishing? Is it about actually going to catch catfish? No. Catfishing is when someone uses technology to pretend that they have an alternate identity so that they can scam someone else into giving them something. Not a very nice metaphor. Another similar term is phishing, spelled with a PH, which usually comes in the form of an email, again, trying to get something from you. So why does this metaphor translate so well 2,000 years later? Consider what it takes to catch fish. First, you need a fishing pole that you can cast out into the water. And then on the end of your fishing pole, you need a hook, usually with, again, some kind of gross bait that I never want to handle again, like worms, to attract the fish to bite. Then when you feel a tug on your line, that means that a fish has taken the bait and it's time to reel them in. But if you don't have any bait on your hook, the fish is probably not going to be interested enough to bite. It might think the hook is kind of interesting or weird looking or kind of out of place, or not pay any attention to it at all. With nothing attractive on the end of that hook, the fish is probably just going to swim on by and ignore it. Now, because we're not out on a lake and I can't demonstrate actual fishing for you, for which you should all be very grateful, I asked our refuge students to help us create a visual of this phenomenon, and we made a quick video. Don't worry, no students were harmed in the making of this video, but let's take a look. Whoever gets to the bait first gets to keep it. Understood? You can scrum for it. Any questions? Yeah. All right, here we go. I'm gonna set our lure. And here comes our bait. You ready? Whoever gets it first gets it. Go! Well, wait for him to cast it. All right. Go ahead, Andrew. Is there anything on it?
I got one.
All right, there's nothing on it. I'm sorry, you swim away. So sad. All right, we'll try again. All right, facing away. I know, we have a very disappointed fish. All right. Some of the Hennig family, and it looks like we got a few of you in the process. All right, swim, fishy, swim! And we're reeling Shaylee in. Yay! Thank you, Refuge. It may have been a little tough to see, but the first time we cast it out, there was no bait on the end. And I had built up enough hype, and they'd heard me crinkling something that they were really expecting some good bait. But when they saw that there was nothing good to be gained, it pretty quickly deflated the excitement. And in fact, it kind of just caused confusion. He's like, what do I have this hook in my hand for? He's looking at me like, what do I win? Nothing, sorry. That's what you call a bait and switch. And sadly, I've seen far too many people walk away from the church and walk away from faith because a bait and switch is exactly what they've experienced. They were taught that a life with Jesus should look a certain way, and when they didn't experience that, they walked away. But then we saw what happened when there was good bait on the end of the line. They dove for it, and Shaylee was excited even to be reeled in with the bait in her hand at the end. We didn't catch this one on camera really well, but before that, we had actually cast out a $5 bill, and you might have heard a little bit of Sylvia. She was so excited that she started giving a spontaneous Oscar-style speech. So let's pretend that Jesus is our fisherman holding our fishing pole. Ultimately, he's the one who's going to reel in people's hearts and lives through the work of his Holy Spirit. So, what's the bait on the end of Jesus' fishing pole? That's where you and I come in. We are the live bait. Just like a fish sees the bait on the end of the fish hook and thinks it looks like a tasty treat, people can be drawn in to wanting to know more about Jesus when they see the ways that you are imitating Jesus and speaking Jesus. When they see you loving and serving the people around you like Jesus loves and serves people, it's like the fish getting caught on the hook and being reeled in by the fishermen. Now, the good news is when you're reeled in by Jesus, it doesn't lead to getting eaten like it does for actual fish. Instead, being reeled in by Jesus leads to the abundant life he promised to all who would receive his invitation, meaning a life full of the fruits of his Spirit, things we all innately long for, like love, joy, peace, patience, and goodness. Now, you might be thinking, couldn't Jesus fish for people without me? Why does he want me to be the bait? Can't I just sit in the boat with Jesus and let him use someone else to be the bait? After all, when it comes to real fishing, things don't usually turn out too well for the bait. The thing is, people aren't usually attracted to the person of Jesus unless they see the effects of Jesus in someone's life. Just like a fish isn't usually attracted to a baitless hook, people aren't usually hooked by Jesus unless they encounter someone who is willing to share how their life has been totally transformed by him. Someone who is willing to be Jesus bait. And the reverse can also be true. People can be attracted to the idea of Jesus, but be totally turned off from being reeled in by him because the bait, that's us, doesn't always make following Jesus look very appealing. And just like I'm sure every fisherman has a favorite kind of fishing pole or a favorite type of lure or bait, using the lives of his disciples like you and me is Jesus' favorite way to reel people in. And you are his favorite bait because he knows that us being the bait teaches us to trust him. To fish for people, it takes all of us choosing to surrender our lives to be Jesus bait. Because just like fishermen will use all kinds of lures and baits to catch different kinds of fish, Jesus uses all different kinds of followers to catch all different kinds of people. Unlike most rabbis whose followers would have all gone through the same level of schooling before being called as disciples, Jesus called a wide variety of disciples, from fishermen to zealots to tax collectors and more. The diversity and backgrounds of Jesus' disciples was shocking to the cultural norms of their day. But that's the thing about Jesus. His mission doesn't make exceptions. Our missional narrative speaks to this, and I quote, "Undeniable truth that God loves and values all people, no exceptions. This truth is manifested clearly in the person of Jesus, who modeled unconditional, boundless love. There are no outsiders to Jesus' love, no us versus them, only people God seeks to invite into his family. This is grace." So as disciples of Jesus, none of us are off the hook, pun intended. In the same way that Jesus called Simon, Andrew, James, and John to become fishers of people, we are all called, from the youngest of us in the room to the oldest, to be fishers of people. And we do it by knowing and trusting Jesus enough to be his bait. To be the bait, we imitate Jesus and speak Jesus through surrendering our lives as he did to carry out his mission to see, love, serve, and teach people in the ways that he did. So the question for you today, my friends, is will you answer the call to be Jesus' bait in the world? Let's pray. Jesus, it's a big calling to be your disciple, to fish for the people that you've called us to fish for. Lord, would you guide us in surrendering our lives, in being willing to be your bait, so that all kinds of people may be invited into your kingdom. Use us for your glory, not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.